you can go invest on a platform and pick your deal, pick your jockey and go for it. What we are offering and the story we're telling at Mission First is you're investing in a suite of properties across a few different asset classes, across multiple proven veteran real estate operators. So 100% veteran owned and operated real estate opportunities.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Bill Capron has 10 years in the business, and as of today, over 500 apartment units. His focus is expanding the real estate opportunities for military members and veterans, and he's also the founder of the Reg A Fund, Mission First Capital. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, man, the pleasure's mine. Same three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. In 90 seconds or less, can you tell us where did you start, where are you now, and how did you get there?
Rapid fire. So I started as a special operations guy in the Navy. My job was called Special Warfare Combatant Craft Crewman. Basically, we drive the small, fast boats and crew them that take Navy SEALs, Green Berets, and other special operators to their maritime missions. Bought my first house using what's called the Veterans Administration loan, which enabled me to buy it with zero money down. Moved all my buddies in, lived for free, thought that was pretty cool. When I got out, I got my real estate license because I knew there was something to this whole real estate thing. And, you know, through dozens of transactions with buyers and sellers, started flipping houses and buying single family rentals. And after, you know, a few dozen of those, again, just banging my head against the wall, I thought there's got to be a better way. I'd read all the books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, investing in duplexes, triplexes, and quads, you name it. You know, I understood it academically, but I actually took action, you know, 8 or 10 years later. I bought a 13-unit complex, and, you know, that was 2017. And from there, racked up a little over 500 units between now and then. And that brings us to present day with Mission First Capital, which is, yeah, we're the first Regulation A plus fund backed by real estate in existence that we know of, specifically designed to help active duty service members and veterans push over the first domino to start a chain reaction of improvement to their financial landscape and their future.
Man, that's fantastic. I love that. So yeah, in just a few short years, you've gone from zero apartments to 500. That's awesome. Have you done that using your own capital? Have you done that through raising funds before you started the Reg A fund, or what did that look like?
So here's the problem with your own capital. Eventually you run out. And for me, it was a pretty quick process because I didn't have a whole lot. So I actually acquired the 13 unit with $5,074.01 of my own money. The purchase price was $910,000. So we could take the whole show talking about that. But just know that if you're committed to an outcome and you're creative and you lean into your network and create win-win relationships, almost anything can happen. So that one brought in a couple of debt partners. So they weren't attached to the property, just promissory notes against me for, you know, about $40,000. The seller held a second for $60,000. The seller had held a first for $810,000. Over the first year, I used the cash flow to pay off the second. Then I paid off my buddies, paid them a nice interest rate. And I actually just sold that property this year for a profit of about $215,000.
That's
so pretty cool to see that first cycle. So then, yeah, I was out of money and I had to go and raise money. So what that looked like for me was joint ventures. I'd find the deals. I was a master of valuation within my little corner of the world. So my next deal was 108 units and it was a screaming deal. We got it for just under $4 million. It appraised for 5.5 and today it's worth just under 9. So brought in a few partners in that deal, killed it there. Then yeah, a few more joint ventures, a few more syndications, a little bit of my own money here and there, but primarily other people's because they're much larger projects. And if you're going to scale, I think it's important to grow that muscle. But where you start is using your own, making the mistakes, skinning your own knees. Because in this game, you do not want to be losing other people's money or your days will be numbered.
Right, man, that's absolutely so true. I love that. The Reg A fund, that's a fun conversation just from the sense that it's expensive, time consuming, and a lot of people steer away from it just from those two, you know, standpoints. So tell me, why did you decide to do it? Well, first of all, if just in case our listeners don't know what it even is, tell us what it is, then tell us why you did it. And then, you know, what it cost you. Give us all the breakdown on that.
And why you shouldn't will be the final point. Yeah. So Regulation A plus under Securities and Exchange Commission is you're able to accept non-accredited investors. So that's somebody who's not a millionaire and doesn't make 200 grand a year. most private equity offerings were folks that are, quote, accredited investors. It bugged me that doing all these apartment deals, I wasn't able to include many of my military friends and colleagues. So regulation A plus, the strength of it is that you can take non-accrediteds. The downsides is it's very regulation intensive, a lot of red tape, very expensive. I'm probably $250,000 into the thing at this point. A lot of different entities, government entities that are looking into you and verifying you and auditing you, and three different sets of accountants. So it's kind of a mess. And unless you're planning on building something really, really big and you're really well capitalized, don't do a regulation A plus. Do a 506B. And again, do that friends and family kind of thing. And once you build a brand for yourself, 506C, it's accredited only, but you know, that's a great path. And that's why most people go that angle.
Yeah, I understand. So is it something you regret doing at this point?
No, because in addition to continuing to scale my real estate portfolio and making money for my family and things that are important to me, the mission, pun intended, of Mission First Capital is to enable tens of thousands of active duty service members and veterans to start their financial journey with us. Because most people just don't know that opportunities like this exist. And maybe investing a small amount of money with us, relatively small, will sort of light the spark and encourage somebody to go and do their own real estate deal, their own small joint venture or syndication. And that's the power. But if they're just working, you know, regular job, a military job, and you set a little bit of money aside every year, invest with us, you know, that's a great thing too. It can really change futures. What we like to say is investing with us today will not change your lifestyle, but it could change your life. And I really believe that. So there's a contribution point of to why I'm willing to endure all of this regulatory nightmare.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine that just compliance alone is going to eat a better part of someone's job in a year. So that's really interesting. I guess with that in mind, knowing the burden that running a Reg A fund places on especially a smaller operator, how are you offsetting the cost of administration and also knowing that, hey, we're going to have ample deal flow to where doing this makes sense?
So I'm not offsetting it. And, you know, I racked up over 500 apartment units, but I'm in selling mode right now. And everything that I have is going into Mission First Capital because, you know, it's a machine and the purpose of it is to enable opportunities for those passive investors that get involved with their first investment with us, but also for guys like me who find their first 13 unit deal, their second 100 unit deal. I didn't know which way was up, you know, with either one of those deals really compared to where I am now. Right. If I had somebody that was willing to come alongside me with the equity, the net worth guarantorship, the senior debt origination and negotiation, you know, the legal aspect, the investor relations, all of that stuff, it would have been a godsend. And if you're doing a JV or a syndication, you have to have people who fill those roles. You're losing, quote unquote, a lot of your deal to have people fill them. And if they're not professionals, then what's to stop them from taking their football and going home? Because that happens, right? Life circumstances happen to people. So by building this machine, I'm able to partner with veteran real estate operators who've proven that they know something about their little corner of the world, and they're great at multifamily, they're great at Airbnb, they're great at self-storage, and I can pour rocket fuel on their growth and enable them to keep more of a deal than they would have if they did the standard syndication route and for a lot less hassle. So that's what we're about here.
Gotcha. So this fund will not necessarily service deals that you are the general partner on. It will simply service what you intend on going in as maybe a fund of funds in other people's opportunities.
So yeah, I get the fund of fund idea, but really for us, it would be like a joint venture between Mission First Capital and, you know, Sam, the veteran in Memphis, you know what I mean? And we would just draw up a JV. And, you know, obviously we protect the investors first, but we want a sponsor that's bringing us great deals and creating massive value to make great money.
Yeah.
And that's that fantastic. We can grow together.
When you talk to the potential investors, what's their minimum investment? I mean, a lot of these are Reg A plus could be a crowdfunded deal and you could have, hey, minimum investments, you know, $10, whatever it is. So what's that look like?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so funny learning about all the different money personalities and how people approach this type of opportunity. Crowdfunding is nothing new, right? So you can go invest on a platform and pick your deal, or pick your jockey and go for it. What we are offering in the story we're telling at Mission First is you're investing in a suite of properties across a few different asset classes, across multiple proven veteran real estate operators. So 100% veteran owned and operated real estate opportunities. So that's, you know, sort of our shtick. And if one goes bad, which even if you do everything right, sometimes a deal goes bad. I had one that we lost 12 units to a fire last year that, you know, the insurance company still hasn't paid us out and we can't get any new Department of Veterans Affairs or Section 8 residents, which is sort of our bread and butter, until the building's rebuilt. So it's like a total Murphy's Law situation. So that individual project, it's really tough on us, right? But if you look at my whole portfolio, if it was blended, it would be just like kind of an aside. Like, oh, okay, well, it's still like the value's there. Like the business plan is solid. You just need to be able to rebuild and everything is cool. So by investing in a suite of properties, diverse locations, asset classes and operators, I believe that's a little bit of a hedge rather than your typical crowdfunding and just one deal with just one operator.
Sure. Yeah. What did you, maybe I missed that. Did you answer the dollar amount?
Oh, I'm sorry. Our minimum is 5,000.
Okay.
So there's other out there that might be cheaper, but you know, like I said, I'm looking for a domino that can be pushed over that starts a chain reaction for these folks. And if it's much less, no offense to the folks that are working on getting their first investment together, but it has to be somewhat meaningful. It has to be able to snowball into something.
Right.
And at $500, I just, okay, yeah, 20 years from now, cool. But we're trying to accelerate growth.
Yeah. I mean, who really cares if you double your money in 16 months if all you put in was a dollar? Like, That's not a meaningful challenge now, or not a meaningful, just not meaningful in any capacity. When it comes to a Reg A fund, can you guys have accredited and non-accredited? Did you answer that already? Maybe you did.
Yes, sir. Yep, we sure. We can accept just about anyone. Our criteria is you cannot invest more than 10% of your annual income or 10% of your net worth, whichever's higher. So let's say you make $50,000 a year as a whatever military member, cashier, laborer, 5,000 would be as much you can do, unless, say, you own a stock portfolio, you know, retirement account, some rental properties of your own, and maybe your net worth is $250,000. Well, then, hey, your minimum that we are allowed to accept just went from 5,000 to 25,000. So, you know, and there's some different, on our website, there's some different like questionnaires with the investor screening that helps you figure all that out if it's not clear.
And is that an obligatory minimum or maximum, I guess, or is that something that is just what you guys have advised your clients and your investors on?
It's part of the Regulation A+ law. So yeah, we have to abide by that. So you come in and basically you certify what you make, what you're worth based on, you know, the calculations that are laid out in the form. And, you know, that's just sort of is what it is. And also, we want people to be responsible. You know, we're not anticipating being 100% of anyone's portfolio. I think that's reckless. I think you should have your, you know, 401k. If you're a W-2 earner, you should buy your first home. You know, if you're in a position to do it, house hack it, buy a duplex, things like that. Those are all things I'm definitely in favor of. But to seek information and to seek opportunities, and we're creating an opportunity where there was none before, where it wasn't well known. So right. We're trying to bridge that gap.
Right. What's it cost annually to keep the maintenance up on that? Aside from the compliance you have to do in-house, like just filing fees with the SEC, keeping that thing alive and, you know, legal. What's that number?
So it's going to change the more investors that we get in, because it makes the audit more complex, the more properties that we buy. We've got a few under contract right now. So all of that, I'm not trying to be evasive, but it sort of depends on all of that and what is property of the individual entity controlling 123 Main Street and what's the purview of Mission First Capital. To just throw a dart at it, I'd say maybe $50,000. So it's tremendously expensive. So if you're not going to be raising 10, 25, 50, 75 million, it's going to eat into your bottom line. So,
oh gosh, yeah. You can't support that on a, you know, $2 or $5 million raise annually. It just doesn't make any sense. That's really intriguing. Now, and again, you said you guys have a few properties under contract right now, but yet is that through the joint venture structure that you have with other operators, or is that stuff that you
purchase? A couple of them are mine and a couple of them are with JV operators. Gotcha. So we would be looking to be the single check writer to come in and say, hey, you need, you know, $500,000 let's do up a JV, make it happen. It meets all of our criteria
right
now. So,
and one of the criteria you'd mentioned there was a veteran owned real estate investing company. That's really niche, especially as you're going into, you know, potentially very large acquisitions. So how are you identifying those people?
Okay, so let me make a caveat. So 100% veteran owned and operated. Let's say that you have a buddy in Memphis who's an Army veteran and says, Sam, we're going to do this deal. And then you guys both bring Mission First Capital this deal. You guys are partners. That's great. We're partnering with you, but it's there's a veteran at the top. What I mean is there's plenty of money out there. And I just need to make sure that it's going towards helping a veteran build their real estate portfolio and, you know, their new career after serving in the military. It doesn't mean that necessarily they couldn't have a couple people on their team that weren't. There has to be somebody that's in a meaningful role that brings us, quote, the deal.
Right. Gotcha. Very, very cool. If you're listening to that and that rings a bell with you, now you need to schedule a call with Phil. Phil, let's jump here into our final four questions. What is one tool, think digital like a software, what is one tool or resource that you find you can't live without?
Oh, darn, because when I was reading the preliminaries, I had a different thought on this.
Okay, well,
can I say what I was going to say?
I've changed the question a little bit. So what was your answer?
You know, to define it as a resource might sound strange, but to me, it's my relationships. I mean, my girlfriend, like she, you know, empowers me to do everything that I want to do every day. She inspires me, you know, my friends, my team, my employees, like this is a team business. What I found out pretty early is you can only go so far alone. You can only go so far with like a small partnership because everyone brings something a little bit unique by pouring into those closest to you. And like, you know, the core relationships to me is my greatest asset, my greatest resource.
Right.
From a tech perspective, Slack, I guess. Just trying to declutter all the emails and everything and just sort of have a metric of where everything's going on an hour by hour basis across a lot of departments, a lot of deals. And that's, you know, nothing new. So sorry.
No, that's good. It's interesting when you start hearing different things. You know, I've heard Slack a couple times, but it's surprising the number of times you don't hear it. Or there's a lot of other things out there, but no, that's one that, you know, email is the bane of a lot of people's existence. So finding a way to get that organized in a meaningful way is pretty
hard. Still is.
Absolutely. Question number two for you is this: if you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
Procrastination. You set a goal, you tell a bunch of people, and you find a way to make it happen. Because for me, you know, it was 8 years, 10 years from when I'd first read the books and when I first understood real estate, there's something to this. I like was making these steps that I thought was taking action, like working as a real estate agent. I thought, okay, I'm in real estate. No, I had a job flipping houses, still had a job.
Right.
You need to find a way to start buying real estate now. So the best way in my experience to do that is to tell people what you're up to, allow them, your network to sort of conspire for you with resources. That could be capital, that could be specializations, that could be, you know, a lot of things that would be useful to building your team. And then just sort of that peer pressure of, I said I was going to buy a rental property in 2022 and it's December 30th. You have to face your family and friends and say, yeah, I sure didn't. I failed.
Right.
So I lied to you or I'm a failure. One of the two. Peer pressure.
I love it. Don't procrastinate. Question number three, when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
So just the sort of the charter of Mission First Capital. It's to turn the light bulb on for these military members and veterans to start investing in themselves and their financial future. And for those who really want to go hard into real estate, to pour rocket fuel onto them and enable them to build their business, their family, and their community.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. Phil, if listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Probably through the website, missionfirstcapital.com, spelled just like it sounds.
missionfirstcapital.com. Okay, great. We'll be sure to make sure we include that in the show notes. Phil, thanks so much for your time and coming on today. This was great.
Thank you, sir. This is awesome.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.